and welcome to your Dream Builder program for January 19th. And, oh gosh, today we are talking about testing our dream. And it's really to determine if our dream is right for us, if our dream is worthy for us, not the other way around. So that's a whole new way to look at it. So let's go ahead and take a couple of those deep breaths. Remember that this deep breath is an opportunity to practice shifting state. And in that practice and using breaths like this, you can shift your state throughout the day. And that's a great practice to use. Whenever you notice that your energy level is low or that you have a little agitation or irritation or distraction, the list goes on and on. So this deep breathing is a great, great, great practice to use regularly. So go ahead and close your eyes if it's safe. Notice your feet on the earth, your feet on the ground. Notice how comforting that is. And then a reminder that the breath in is through your nose and the breath out is through your mouth with a nice ah sound. Let's go ahead and take our first deep breath, arms up. Hold it a little and out. And another deep breath in. And hold it at the top. And out. And then a final deep breath in. Hold in the possibility for your vision. Breathe it in. And out. All right. Thank you. That's part about being on mute that I miss is that I can't hear you breathing. So, and that would be all right. And
you can't hear us giggle either.
Exactly. It's like, are you there? And I'm just going to trust. Thank goodness for the dashboard. I can actually see that you are still there. I am, because I haven't heard from the other two, I'm going to take a moment. Nope, you know what? I'm not. Let's cancel that. That's why we record these calls. So what I'd like to do in kind of what we always do is have each of you express what you're grateful for and then what you praise yourself for or what you're proud of. And because there are two of us on the call so far, if you feel like you'd like to express a few things that you're grateful for, maybe possibly two, feel free to do that. Again, I'll remind you that the universe responds to precision. The infinite intelligence responds to a direct communication. So the more focused you are in your gratitudes and in your praise, the better. So who just joined us? Hello?
Hello?
Okay. Hello? Yes, okay, welcome. Is Boogie? Okay, great. Yes. I'm glad you made it. Thank you.
Okay.
Welcome.
All right.
We just
Thank
did our
you.
Deep breathing, and now okay. we're going to go around and identify your praise and what you're grateful for first, what you're grateful for, and then what you praise yourself for. So I'm going to give you a chance to just kind of settle in on the call. And Tracy, how about if we start with you? What are you grateful for?
Okay. I am very grateful for a young man who did not have to change my battery but did. Very grateful for him. And I am proud of the fact that I stood there in the middle of O'Reilly's and said, look, I just need an easy solution to this.
Mm.
I am all about doing things very easily. So whatever is the easy solution, that's the one we'll take.
Mm.
And he said, I will do it for you, no problem.
Awesome. Awesome. Beautiful. Yeah.
The other option was go next door and maybe they would charge me $20.
Mm-hmm.
But I said, no, I don't want to go next door. I want to do this easily.
Mm, beautiful. A great example of just using that intention, using that energy, not so much for the outcome, because it can go either way, and the ease with which you want to experience whatever the outcome is, what you want your experience to be. So, awesome. That's beautiful. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Jennifer, would you like to go ahead and go? What are you
doing? Hi, can you hear me?
Yes. Great. It's wonderful.
Good. Okay. I'm really grateful for my job, and I know that's generic, but I will say after going for 2.5 weeks, you know, back during the fall without one, I'm just so grateful to have it, and that paycheck is there, and bills are covered, and I'm enjoying it. So I really am grateful for that, and I'm proud of myself for doing a good job. Just today I got 4 contracts back signed from clients, and I have others on the table that I'm waiting to get back. So it's been a really productive week, and it's only end of Tuesday. So I'm really proud of those accomplishments, and I'm learning a lot about this new company and new hotel, and I'm just pleased with how it's going so far. So today was a good day.
Beautiful. All right. Thank you. Thank you. And Boogie, are you? Would you like to unmute yourself? And what are you grateful for?
Hi, can you hear me?
Hello. Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Absolutely.
Now I was just going to say that I am grateful for this opportunity. So I'm grateful to actually have this opportunity to take this workshop. Gosh, it's something I know I don't take it lightly, and I know other people will never get a chance to have this opportunity. So I'm grateful for that, first up. Mm-hmm. And as far as praises, I'm just really excited and happy that I continue to receive great reviews on my project, and even times when I thought that I've messed up, for some reason things just seem to still work out, and I would not have messed up, but, you know, I don't know, just it's working out much better, and I think a lot of it has to do with my attitude as well, so that's something I'm really excited about and praise myself for right now.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And I want to acknowledge the last sentence you said, so much of it is about my attitude about myself. The great notice that so much of that can be a praise, that the shifting of your perspective is always something to praise yourself for. That shifting on the spot and creating your experience of you is very powerful. Great work. Thank you. Well, I will participate as well, and I am grateful for my website. I'm able to now place your recordings out on a page that is private to you. It is a place where you can listen at any time, and I'm really grateful that I have a site that will do that, and it provides some ease for each of you to go and retrieve the recordings or go and listen to the recording. So, grateful for that. I praise myself for writing a document that is a very simple download for prospective clients, and it's called The 6 Lies That You've Been Told About Confidence. And for those of you, Ruge, those of you that heard me at the Plaid conference, I talked about confidence. And this download actually spawned from that talk. And I'll share And they share a little bit about that tonight, about how that brochure came about. And I am very, very proud of myself for having created it so quickly. And I love it. And I think others will love it as well. So, and you, absolutely, each of you will have an opportunity to have it, just have it. So I'm proud of myself for that. All right. And I don't see, Charmaine, have you joined us? Okay. Well, Charmaine will not be with us, it looks like, unless she joins a little bit later. So what I'd like to do is go back and revisit last week a little bit. Last week, we talked about that the point of power is within each of us, that we really have lived up until this point in an inside-out, we have lived up to this point in an outside-in universe where we've looked at circumstances to determine what we could have, what was possible for us, how we might feel about things. We really looked to circumstances to see what we could have and be and do and experience. When, in fact, it's an inside-out world, we get to generate our experience with our thoughts. And that's what this part of your course is all about. So we talked about vision statements, and I have some of them, and I encourage you to send me whatever you have. I'm going to repeat this and repeat it, and send me whatever you have, even if it's a few sentences. Because even a few sentences read out loud will begin to align your thinking with your vision. So even the most simple thing works. So we talked about your vision statement. We talked about looking in four domains, health or your well-being, career or your creative expression, relationships, and then your financial freedom. We also talked about bathing your vision in gratitude, that most of the major paragraphs start with, "I'm so happy and grateful." That's exactly the same reason why we start our calls with gratitude, is because it's a higher vibration thinking. So anytime you need to move into you want to move into a higher vibration thinking, just stopping and noticing what you're grateful for is a very powerful tool in doing that, and shifting yourself back to gratitude and in realigning yourself with your vision. So starting the sentence or major paragraphs with "I'm so happy and grateful" is very intentional, very powerful, and I recommend you continue to use that regularly. You're stating the dream in the present tense, because you can't get to your dream. You must come from your dream. And a few of you have heard me talk and have heard the gorilla story. And that is the example of coming from your dream. In that story, I talk about my summit of Mount Rainier and being a mountain climber before I knew how. So coming from your dream is being the person, practicing at being the person in your vision before you know how. As an example, I have a client that has a vision for his family of being able to have a cabin out in the woods where they can go and just spend family time. It's a sort of a pseudo log cabin, a luxury log cabin. And he and his wife have actually decided this weekend, that they have a spot where they can go and take a mini getaway vacation. And they're going to go and test drive a cabin that they think might be sort of close to what they envision. And so for them, they're actually being the people who are in this vision. And all the pieces haven't aligned yet, but they are being that before they're there. And that's how it translates in everyday kind of life. So what I'd like to do is, let me back up. Also, it's important to be specific. Be specific, paint the picture with as much detail as you can. And Tracy's been generous enough that we've been through a brief call to calibrate her vision. And calibration means to up-level the emotional energy of your vision. And I'm extending that offer to everybody on the call that when your vision is to me, request an appointment and we'll get a recorded call and you'll be able to calibrate that vision, again, wherever it is. Also end your vision with this or something better still. And that's really important. It allows you freedom to not have the vision just right because there's every chance it won't work out exactly like you thought. Or it may work out partially, and then the full vision will be fulfilled. I have a client who envisioned a remodel of her house. How it came about was not how she expected, because about 3 weeks into her vision, while her husband and she and her husband were out of town, the house flooded, and so. It was a major inconvenience for a short time, but what happened is her house remodel was accomplished, most of which was paid for by insurance. What she really wanted, however, was a kitchen that she imagined where she could entertain family and friends. And what happened was the remodeled kitchen wasn't quite the image of her dream. And so how it worked out was that the remodeled kitchen sparked an idea that they could actually, the house was now in shape where they could sell it. Because all the repairs that might have been required were taken care of in the repairs from the flood. And so just this month, they found their dream home with the dream kitchen, sold the home where the flood was, and are in the process of moving to the house that is the vision. And this all happened within a period of about 5 months. So you just never know how the vision is going to show up. It probably will not look like what you are imagining, especially along the way. You just never know. It's how it's going to fulfill, and yet you can trust when you're using this technology and you're inviting in the thoughts and emotions of your vision, you can trust that you'll take the actions and the universe will align with you and bring it into your life. The key is to give it some time. So what I'd like to do is open this up to anybody who would like to share. What was your experience like writing your vision? Another way to look at this is, what were some of the things you discovered in the process or you discovered that stopped you? So pros, either way. Or what questions have come up during that process? So who would like to kind of share what the experience was like of writing your vision and what came up?
Hello?
Yes.
Yes, so this is Boogie. So when I was writing out my vision, I realized, and I'm not sure if it's because of the recordings that I listened to for this week, but when I was writing my vision, I was like, wait a minute, what is my vision? I know it's, you know, what is my dream? Because of the questions, you know, the test questions for your dream. So I began to realize that it was really a process that helped me to realign and understand what my real dream is, what my vision is, rather than what I think it is.
Yes. Yes.
So writing out that vision after having listened to this week's recordings, it was just such an eye-opener. And then I realized that there's so many things that, or a couple of things, no, let me not say many, but there are a couple of things that I still need to, like, make an appointment with myself to determine if they're really dreams or not based on not passing a couple of those tests.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Awesome. So you're in a perfect place in the course, which is to notice the difference between what you think should be your dream, maybe what has been before, and when you invite the question, what would I want if I didn't think it was impossible? If I didn't think it was impossible, what would I love? If I didn't think it was impossible, what would I love? And that changes your answers around a whole lot really quickly. And that's what I hear, is that you're expanding that vision beyond what you know you can do and really asking the question, what would I love? So congratulations. That's wonderful. That's awesome, Lugit.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Are there any questions that you have about the process while you're, because we'll be going through that. Everybody will get the opportunity to ask questions about the process. So what do you have a question about it or anything actually about this week's lesson?
Not yet. Like I say, this is an aha moment for me, and so I'm still trying to synthesize it. But then I'm also thinking, oh, geez, you know, it's like I have a blank check, right? But how can that blank check be, I guess what's holding me back is the practicality of that blank check.
Yes, beautiful.
So that's holding me back is, okay, I understand that I have a blank check with my dream. And it's not determined by what I perceive my circumstances to be.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, there's the part of me that's still hanging on to my limitations and the hence the practicality of this. So it's how do I overcome that, those limitations, and how do I bring, make things work? Because it's great, you know, to walk through life always knowing that when you go to the switch plug, it's going to give you electricity, and you know that's going to happen, and you never question that. So how then can I go at my dreams with such conviction?
Beautiful question. So let's get curious about that, and this is a process that all of you can use. Everybody on the call can use this process of getting, let's get curious about that. So, and before we go there, just know that the work that we're doing through the next 12 weeks, 10 weeks, is all about the answer to that question. So it will come. So, you know, you can relax. And let's get curious about the question and what you're noticing. So you're noticing a really powerful concept, which is where practicality fits in as actually a limiting belief. And we'll get to that actually, I think it's the very next week. I think it's next week. We'll be talking in detail about that. But fear can also be disguised very cleverly as being practical, as being responsible. And for this process and this technology, you have the opportunity to just notice that, and what you're doing, and it's beautiful, and then get curious about that. So the real question at this phase is to notice part of you would like to be practical. And thank goodness it's part of what's made you successful. And for this process, you can thank it for sharing, and then I invite you to come back to what would you love? Just that really simple question. What would you love, and what does that look like? What you're experiencing is what you'll hear Mary talk about, is the paradigm. It's the habitual way of thinking that is the thinking that has got you this far. You know, Albert Einstein said, the thinking that created the problem is not the thinking that will solve it. And so the thinking, part of the thinking that has created that, if you call your current life, is not a problem, but the place why you're here, then it's a new way of thinking that will solve it. Part of that new way of thinking starts with noticing, the voice of the practical person is coming up. And that could be fear disguised as being practical. That might be something else. So what did you notice about that? Kind of thinking about what I've said here. Anything that you noticed about that voice of the practical? There may or may not be.
What I think it is fear. Mm-hmm. So, and I've never thought about it until you mentioned it, that fear can disguise itself as you know, being pragmatic or being practical.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It can be. So it's a great inquiry, like, to sit with for this week. So, wonderful. Thank you. Why don't we go on to Jennifer, how about any questions that you have about the work last week, or what was your experience so far in writing your vision? What have you noticed?
Sorry, I couldn't get it off mute.
It's all right. We'll wait. You're either talking and it's on mute, or you haven't come off, so we'll wait.
Right. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah. I think the thing that I have, the thing that stuck out to me is the fear of coming up with a vision. It's like, I'm afraid I'm going to pick the wrong one, or I'm not going to, it doesn't make sense, and I know that I guess part of being a dream or a vision that it may not make sense at the time. But I've been having trouble permitting myself to dream because I am, when you said practical, being practical, that I am so all about that. That is my, describes me to a T. I'm always doing things because they're practical and reasonable and safe, and it is out of fear. And I need to be able to remove that from my, I feel like it's chains almost, and I need to remove those chains so that I can think and free myself to have a vision.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I need to do.
Thanks. Good. Thank you. And I'm going to push pause because it's really great to practice not visiting what you need to do about fear. This is for everybody. It's a really good habit to just say, I feel the fear. And then just let it be. And you'll learn in the next couple of weeks why that is. When you listen to the recording about Delilah, think back to this conversation. So one of the opportunities that all of us have with fear is to notice it and, in a way, befriend it. And don't stay very long with it. And then come back to the question, what would you love? The antidote to any time you're stopped, so whether it's writing your vision, or whether it's calling somebody for funding, or whether it's selling your house and moving, whatever that may be, wherever you notice that, there's some resistance there. Action is the antidote. Action is the antidote. So I'm going to share a story, and then we'll go to Tracy. I shared that I am proud of myself for writing the brochure. And the rest of the story, because there's always a backstory, is that late last week I was writing this brochure and I really wanted it done. I was very attached to having the brochure about confidence done. And I went into a meltdown, because that happens, all of us, because nothing was coming, nothing. I didn't have anything, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I sat there, and I waited, and I waited, and there was nothing coming as far as creativity goes. And so I got frustrated, and I was having these feelings like, okay, it's not worth it. I don't want to work with this coach anymore. This just wasn't a good idea. I'm not good at this. Any of those sound familiar to any of you? So I went down, I call it the pity party. I went down the spiral, downward. My energy dropped. Obviously, those were not great thoughts. Not high resonance thinking. And I interrupted that, which you'll gain mastery over, and went and got a cup of tea. Because that's what you do. You go take a break. It's kind of like a four-year-old taking a time out. But the difference is I came right back after my cup of tea. I sat down, and I said, I know what to do. What there is to do is write something. Do one thing. Write one sentence. And what I did was I ended up doing a kind of like a 6-bullet-point outline. It was very simple. Within 7 minutes, I had the majority of that brochure then and was then able to, and it was a simple one, was then able to put it in the format that I wanted and get it out for others to begin to give me feedback to edit it. It took 7 minutes. Now, this is not about me. This is to share with you that action is the antidote. You may have a downward spiral of fear, resistance, procrastination, whatever it may be. And the important part is to notice it. You may need a break, and then come right back to it and take one action. Write one sentence. Write one sentence. Make one phone call. Just one thing closes the loop on your commitment to your dream. It tells your subconscious mind, I'm serious this time. I'm in business. I'm not messing around. And that's what that one action will say to your subconscious. And the next one will get easier. So, Jennifer, was that helpful?
Yes, it was. Absolutely. I started making notes while we were talking. So, yes, thank you.
Great. So I'm going to invite you to, if you'd like, some support around getting those first things on paper. There's an opportunity to request that, not just from me, but from your partners in believing on this call. So what would be a way that we could support you in getting those ideas out of your head and onto paper? Would you like to make a request?
You know, hearing that was great. And it kind of helped me draw some things out just while I was listening. I guess just...
Great.
Send me your well wishes.
Okay, yeah. So here's me. That's great. That's send and support you with our intentions, for your intentions. So what would you, like, is there a goal you'd like to set for when you share your vision with me or with anybody, or how many sentences you want to have or paragraphs you want to have by this evening? Is there a goal that you have in mind that you'd like to share so we can support you? And you can say yes or no. It's okay. I just want to give you that opportunity to be specific with the universe.
Yes. I think I can have one paragraph done by tonight. I do.
All right. So this is, again, rigor around language for all of us. So do you think you can? Or will you?
I will.
Okay. And we all have that head. Notice the pregnant pause. It's like, ah!
Yeah.
So
no,
that,
that
is beautiful. Thank you for being willing to share that. That's very vulnerable, and I want to acknowledge you for being willing to share that. That is a lesson for all of us, that to be rigorous around what you will do, what you have done, what's on the calendar, those kinds of actions. So congratulations. I heard a paragraph by this evening, and I am very welcome. If you want to send that to me, I'd love to see it. So thank you again, Jennifer. Awesome work, and to take that action that is the antidote. Thank you. All right. Tracy, you are up. So what have you noticed about writing your vision this week, or any questions you have about the process? Because you have been through one calibration call, so the people on the call with you can learn from that experience as you share it.
Well, on the calibration call, we really made some changes because a lot of what I had written dealt with the past. And the past doesn't have anything to do with this vision statement. Mm-hmm. So rewriting it in the present tense, not visiting and dipping back into the past, made quite a difference in the feeling of the vision state. Mm-hmm. Some of the things that I had been concerned about or wondered about, and I think I've heard it a lot tonight, is how could I possibly get to that vision? It just doesn't seem like there's any way some of the things could possibly happen. And then you remember on the CD, it said it's not your business. It's not your business to make the corn grow, you know, and that's what I was trying to do, is make the tell the corn how to grow. And so I took, you know, I can take a step back from that and remember that that's not my business, how it's going to happen.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Great reminder. Thank you. None of my business. It will be your business to take action,
yes,
in alignment with that vision, and it will be your business to continue to add emotions to your vision. So, Tracy, and for everybody on the call, Tracy and I talked about this a little bit, about her being willing to share maybe some examples of like a before and after. So, Tracy, are you prepared to do that, or would you prefer that I share kind of like a before and after statement out of your vision and what happened in the calibration call? What's your preference?
Well, I don't have it in front of me, so you will have.
I do. So I picked them, and I'm doing this because this is. To have it be realistic, my vision's been out there, you know, 3 years. This one is a week old. So I think I'll go with, I think I'll go with the relationship with your son, with Gage, if that's okay?
Sure.
So the change is, my oldest, so I'll read the before. My oldest son, Gage, has been separated from me so long. When I was finally able to open the door, a crack, to my surprise and delight, it flew open all the way. Gage and his girlfriend are coming to visit. My youngest son is coming too. And that was a vision. And for a healing of a relationship. Okay? Now I'd like to read the revised version. As the calibration begins to up-level the energy on that section of Tracy's vision. So, my oldest son, Gage, is coming to see me. I opened the door a crack, and to my surprise and delight, it flew open all the way. Gage and his girlfriend are coming to visit. I love the anticipation of the visit. My youngest son, Will, is coming too. This is a homecoming to share the love I have for them. How wonderful to feel motherhood again. So, Tracy, what was it like for you as you rewrote that, like that section? What did you notice for yourself?
Well, this is harder than I thought. Talk about.
Mm-hmm.
It was difficult the first part to write, just the first part, but rewriting it, it did bring it more into how will I feel when this happens instead of just the, looking at the picture, it kind of made it 3D. It had a lot to do with how I will feel when that happens.
Yes. Yeah. Great work. Great notice. Beautiful. And I'd also like to share that it's common when you write your vision at this level of feeling to cry. There's hope. There's a desire and a longing, which has been kind of quiet and dampened down for some time for all of us. And that's part of the resistance, that fear, like, wow, could this really come true? And the risk of actually desiring that experience is, it's risky. It's emotional. It's vulnerable. That's not a place where we're trained to go. So be gentle with yourself as you're writing your vision. And I'll support you through that calibration process. We may only take a few sentences because it's a high-impact process. It's that level of emotion that pulls you into your future. And it takes courage and conviction to stay with that. And a great amount of faith and a great amount of gratitude to stay with that kind of emotion. So, and it's worth it. So thank you, Tracy, for being willing to share. I want to also point out that when you hear somebody else read your vision back to you, it's very intense. So thank you for being vulnerable in that way. Appreciate that. And you've done you've offered a great, great gift to those on the call. A great gift. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other really pressing questions before we move into this week and testing your dream? Anybody? Okay. We'll move on. So this works if you work it. The key is to become a vibrational match with your dream, which means being the person in your dream before you know how. So your homework, your life work will remain for the rest of your life, should you choose, to read your vision daily. I happen to enjoy reading mine in the morning. Others, it's best to read at night. The time of day does not matter. That is an ongoing opportunity to get in touch with your dream and expand it and feel into it each time as if it's real. Let the teaching soak into your cells. Listen to the recordings multiple times. You'll hear them differently each time. We don't step into the same river twice. It moves and we move. And so you'll hear different things each time you listen to the recording. When you test your dream, you'll be asking 5 questions. Does it give me life? In other words, does it make me come alive? Am I excited? Do I love it? Second question is, does it align with your core values? I think each of you has a workbook to work on your core values. If you don't, let me know. Send me an email. It's important that your dream align with the things that are that you hold the dearest, hold the strongest. Does it cause you to grow? Does it cause you to stretch? There's another way to say this. Does it make you a little bit uncomfortable? This is like going to the transformation gym. Being a little bit uncomfortable actually spawns and spurs on creativity. It's what athletes call being in the flow. It's about 2-3, no more than 4% off of baseline, so off of status quo. So it's not like bungee jumping adrenaline rush. It's just a little uncomfortable. That actually, this is the opportunity to consider that that's a good thing. Being a little uncomfortable is a place to lean in and to take action. The fourth checkpoint is, does it require the help of a higher power, of God, of the universe, of something that's bigger than you? If you could do it alone, you already would have done it. So it's going to require the help of something, somebody else, because it's that big. You don't know how to do it. And then the fifth one is there good in it for others? And as Mary talked about this one with the man that's an engineer, and really learning that if he's changed his jobs, even though he may be making less money, he gets to spend more time with his kids. And that's good. That's good in it. It's in his dream for them. So the test of is there good in it for others is a litmus test about does it ripple out? Is there good? And I don't think I've experienced it, a person in this work who would answer with no. The other key point this week is to let the dream build you. You can't get to the dream. You must come from it. So it may also require some repatterning, certainly repatterning of your thinking. Here are the things that you may notice are up for negotiation that you may be considering releasing or letting go of. And this can also be a reason that your paradigm will tell you to stop, will tell you that this isn't a good idea. So just notice if these come up. You may be inclined to consider letting go of relationships or changing the nature of your relationship. You may consider letting go of habits or behaviors that you know aren't aligned with your dream. You may consider letting go of beliefs or paradigms you know are stopping you, and that's what we discussed tonight. It may mean letting go of a job, or it may mean looking for alternative sources of income. The word decide, and some of you have heard this, comes from the word dissect, meaning to carve off. So as part of deciding for your dream, as part of this 5-point test and deciding for your dream, it also means that something, you may be deciding not for something else. So, and that's normal. That's normal. And we'll be working with the items that can be carved off over the next, for the rest of the course, to continue to revisit the things that aren't in alignment with your dream. As they get carved off, it allows you more space to build your dream, more energy to focus on it, a higher level resonance to move into your dream. So it's a natural process. So I have a question for each of you, and that is, in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? How do you, in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? And are you willing to let the dream build you no matter what? This is really the conversation of all in. All in. It's a decision for your dream. So I'm going to let, you know, just whoever is ready to share, just go ahead and unmute yourself and come on in the line. In what ways do you expect your dream to grow you?
This is Tracy.
Okay, thank you.
Uh-huh. After, you know, writing the vision, I know that some of the things that I will have to grow to achieve, well, one of them, definitely my relationship with my son.
Mm-hmm.
I will have to find some strength in different ways. And I think I'm a very strong person,
mm-hmm.
but there'll be different strengths that I will need to develop.
Mm, beautiful. Beautiful. Thank you. Different ways of thinking. Thank you. Jennifer, in what ways do you expect your dream to grow you? Or simply, are you willing to let the dream build you? Yeah? Just a declaration for the group that's powerful.
Hi, this is Vuge.
Oh, okay.
And,
thank you.
Okay, sorry. I hope I didn't jump in.
Okay. Jump in.
Okay, so I'm hoping that the dream, that my dream, helps me or leads me to pushing myself to doing things out of my comfort zone.
Yeah.
So and to realize when I'm acting in fear.
Mm-hmm.
So in pursuing my dream and in actioning, to be able to discern whether I'm acting in fear or not, or my lack of action, rather, is due to fear. So I'm hoping that the dream will grow me and build me in that aspect, in basically the confidence aspect, in being able to just go at it, and again, not minding the corn, but sowing the seed.
Mm, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you, thank you. I love that. I love that.
Thank you.
And Jennifer, anything that you would like to share?
Sure. I've just been sitting here thinking that really what I'm hoping for with this dream and this revelation that I'm going through. I'm so sorry. Oh, I'm still sick, kind of. I'm just hoping that this dream will grow me in a way that I can remember who I used to be.
Mm.
Like, I have spent the last 30 years or whatever, how many years, growing into a professional, and now I'm a mother and a wife. And
mm-hmm.
But there's a person deep down inside that's been buried. And
yes.
I want to find her again because she was pretty great.
Mm-hmm.
And I had a lot of hopes and dreams growing up and things I wanted to accomplish. And some poor choices led me down the wrong path. Mm-hmm. And I had to put all of it aside to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And now I know there's things that I used to enjoy. I used to hobbies and activities and things that I used to do and love, and I don't do them anymore, and I haven't for a long time, and I want to reconnect with the person that I used to be.
Beautiful. Thank you. Thank you. And so I'm going to invite each of you to be rigorous in your language. This is a declaration for willingness to be all in, to let the dream build you. So there's a word that is, it's an interesting paradox, because I love the word hopeful. And as it comes to our work, it's one of those kind of like, In a space of declaration and a decision for your dream, I'm going to invite you to be rigorous around your language. And hope is probably one to take out of your vocabulary for a while. It slips in, and for me too. It happens for all of us. And the rigor in, if it slips in, taking it out as you're speaking, is really powerful. So we'll be working on that a lot, and we'll all slip. So, you know, Jennifer, you may please you may feel like, oh, I did that. Not to worry. We're all going to be there in using the word hope. So it is a declaration now. Tonight, you're signing your name on the check. You're putting your name on your dream. And you're all in. And wherever you are with that dream, you're all in as a declaration on that dream. Because if as long as it's past the 5-point test. If it hasn't, then we'll talk. So, again, you'll want to remember to, as you write your dream and continue to expand it, use all your 5 senses. Use what it smells like, what it feels like, what it tastes like. Use it as an example of that, you know, imagine what it feels like when you bite into a slice of lemon and your whole mouth lights up and the juice just runs down the back of your throat and it's sour and it kind of burns, and that's an image. Or imagine yourself walking through a swimming pool filled with warm honey. Like what that feels like. Those are the images. I mean, obviously, somebody might not be dreaming of those images, but the quality of those images. Continue to look for those in the pictures. Okay. What, as we kind of wrap up tonight, who has any questions about this week's training, a pressing question that you would like to either ask for coaching on or clarification on? This is just an open forum. Who has a question? All right. Nobody's coming off of mute, so we'll go right into the work for this week. Okay. So this week, imagine yourself in your dream with your whole body, so all 5 senses, and continue to write whatever you have, whatever you can, whatever comes up, write it down. And then the other part of your life work is to identify one thing you can do, just one thing you can do to take a step in the direction of your dream this week. Jennifer, you've actually declared writing that paragraph by tonight. That's one step. So just kind of look at your dream, at your vision, and pick one thing, because even baby steps take you to the top of Everest or Rainier or your vision. So just one thing, and because we'll be checking in on that one thing next week. The universe rewards action. And the universe, I said this at one of my conferences, one of the talks I did, the universe responds to seed, like planting seed, not need. So the universe responds to action, so stay in action. Our actions put us in position to receive what the universe sets in motion. So maybe it's making a phone call. Maybe it's cleaning out a closet. Maybe it's writing your vision. Maybe it's adding emotion to your vision. Maybe it's, if your vision includes exercise, maybe it's a walk 3 times a week. Whatever it is for you, simply one action. Doesn't have to be huge. The baby step will send the universe a message that you're serious. All right. For next week, you will be listening to the recordings 4 and 5, okay, and doing the worksheets for 4 and 5. So even though we're in week 3 next week, the recordings will be weeks 4 and 5. Or excuse me, the recording that you'll listen to will be 4 and 5. All right, last-minute call for a question. All right. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. I will send you the link to tonight's recording, and then I'm also going to send you a link to where you can listen to the previous recordings. So what will happen is at the end of the week, so after our following session, I will delete the recording from tonight. I will delete from the website that it's associated with the conference call. So after the calls, you get a link that takes you to where the recording is stored on the conference call line. As soon as we have another call, I'll delete that call from the previous week, but you'll always be able to listen to the previous weeks, all of them, call on this link that goes to my website. So I will be sending that link to you tonight, and that's where you'll listen to the previous calls, with the exception of the one tonight. It will be out there as well, but the key is that you can download it from the server that's associated with the phone. So you'll have a week to download it if you want to be able to listen to it locally on your computer versus going out to my website to listen to the recording. So hopefully that made sense. If it doesn't, just send me an email and we'll talk about it some more, or we'll catch up with it next week. So have a wonderful week. Wonderful work, each and every one of you. Thank you for sharing so generously. And I look forward to seeing your visions, scheduling your calibration calls, and seeing your worksheets. So thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.